after me, say, this is God's word. Come on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the Spirit of God who is in this place to do what he needs to do. As I step back, I thank you for the anointing of God saturating our hearts and our minds so we can hear, perceive, and receive what you want and have for us. I thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders following the word today so that your people will leave better than how they came. And I declare this now in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So last week I started a new series entitled Divine Momentum from Stagnation to Acceleration. Everybody from stagnation to acceleration. In other words, if there's any area of your life, if you feel stuck, this series hopefully will pull you out of that clay and push you on your way. Say amen to that. And so I've been praying, and last year I prayed about what direction God wanted us to go in, and he spoke to me the word momentum. Everybody say momentum. And when he gave me that word, he also put a verse in my heart. And so we're going to read the verse, but the verse, basically the reason I'm reading it is so that you and I can get a visual of what momentum wants to look like and what God wants it to look like in our lives. Now, I'm repeating this for two reasons. Number one, repetition is how we learn. And number two, faith doesn't come by having heard. In other words, you can't keep word stored up and get faith from it. Faith has to be heard. That's why Jesus said, give me this day my daily bread. Why? Because if you don't eat bread, it gets stale. Well, when we hear the word on a regular basis, faith begins to develop in our heart. So in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, this is a word that God declares, and I believe this is what momentum is going to look like in your life this year if you receive it. God says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God decrees. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other, you won't even be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, what does it say, church? Blessings. He says, blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. And God says, I will make everything right again for my people Israel. And I believe God is saying he's going to make everything right again in your life. Which means that if he's got to make it right again, something must have gone wrong. But you got to remember, you can't get stuck in the wrong. You got to know that God can right a wrong if you'll let him. Amen. And so today, the message title that I gave the first two services is Creating Momentum by Your Praise and Worship. And we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to add an element to your message today. And the second part of it, we're going to call it Dagon Must Fall. Now, you'll get it when I'm going. And just understand that you're getting this as I just got it. All right? So let's first of all, let's briefly talk about how we define momentum. Because if you need to expect momentum to happen in your life, you must know what momentum looks like and sounds like. And so momentum is a force or energy that happens when an object or a person moves forward. It also means it's a combination of motion and might that keeps something going. Simply put, momentum is power released when movement is made. Everybody say power released. When movement is made. which says that you can only obtain momentum if you decide to move. Momentum cannot happen if you're not making a move. And that's why the Bible tells us that when we draw close to God, let me say it like this, when we move towards God, the Bible says He moves towards us. In other words, our movement towards God creates momentum for His presence in our life. Say amen to that. So what I want to do, I want to kind of describe the difference between praise and worship. And my point this today is to show you that when you and I begin to exercise praise and worship, it causes God's presence, God's power, God's deliverance to take place in our life. And I'm going to show you too that if you learn how to praise, you can get a raise. See, some of you all are working for a raise, negotiating for a raise. But I'm telling you today, I'm going to show you how to praise for a raise. So what I'm going to do here, the first thing I'm going to do is to read some scripture that shows you where praise and worship is taking place in a story. And because now, remember, praise can produce God's presence in our life. You're going to see that when this group of people begin to praise and worship, what ends up happening is God's presence comes down and destroys their enemies. So this is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to look in verse 14. It says, "Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, who's the son of Benaiah, who is the son of Jaleel, who's the son of Methaniah, who's a Levite of the sons of Asaph, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord showed up in the midst of the congregation. And he said, 'Hearken, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord,'" touch your neighbor and say, "God's about to talk to you." "Thus said the Lord," this is so good, "be not afraid, nor be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's whose." I don't know what battle you're in today, but it's not yours, it's the Lord's. So then he tells them, he says, "Tomorrow when you go down against your enemies, behold, they're going to show up at this cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook." Notice God is giving them spiritual insight into where their enemies are. So verse 17 says, "You shall not need to fight in this battle, but I do need you to set yourselves up and stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord." Now, I want you to notice, he did not tell them to show up. He just told them they didn't have to fight. And see, some of you, the devil has convinced you to not show up. But he wants you to not show up, because if you'll show up, God will fight for you. Amen. So then what happened is, verse 18, he says, "And Jehoshaphat," here's where worship comes in, "Jehoshaphat bows his head with his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem," what did they do? "They fell before the Lord." Everybody say, that's worship. It goes on to say, "by worshiping the Lord." And then verse 19 says, "And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, they stood up." What did they do, church? They praise. So we got praise and worship taking place. They stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. And that's why sometimes worship is loud. You know why? Because that's a way that praise takes place. And sometimes you got to praise your enemy out of your life. And so they rose up early in the morning. Notice that praise and worship took place before they showed up to fight. See, sometimes you got to have worship and praise taking place before you go to work, because you got demons on your job. You got demons in your business. And so for those demons to be controlled, you got to praise God up front. So when you show up, they got to run. And so the Bible says they rose up early in the morning to go in the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went forth, and Jehoshaphat the king, he stood up and he says, "Oh, Judah, of Jerusalem. He says, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. But if you believe in his prophets, so shall you prosper. And so when he consulted with the people, he appointed some singers. Well, what did the singers do? It says, so they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and they said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Well, let's see what happens. They worshiped on the front end. They're praising on the back end. Let's see what happens. And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambushment against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And so when they came against Judah, guess what happens? Their enemies were smitten. Because what happens when you and I begin to praise and to begin to worship, God's presence comes down. And when God's presence comes down, he defeats our enemies. And some of you all are fighting some enemies. You got some enemies of debt that's happening in your life. You got some enemies working against you on your job. You got some enemies working against your health. But I'm here to tell you today, you can defeat the enemy if you can just praise. Because God's presence will, listen, it will literally destroy your enemies. Most of us, we're fighting against flesh and blood. And God is saying to you today, I don't want you fighting no more like that. I don't want you fighting with your words. I don't want you fighting with your fists. I don't want you fighting with your attitude. I need you to fight with some praise. Because when his presence comes down, our enemies will go down. So in 1 Samuel chapter 5, we didn't use this in the first two services, but I felt led to talk about this because when you get your praise right, guess what? It'll get your life right. So there was this God. The Philistines were enemies. Remember David? He fought a giant. That giant was named Goliath. Well, Goliath was a Philistine. The Philistines were enemies to the children of Israel. They always fought against them. Well, the Philistines honored this fake god called Dagon. So the Philistines decided to steal the Ark of the Covenant from the children of Israel. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was this box where God's presence resided. And so what they did, they decided, you know what? We're going to steal the Ark of God from the children of Israel. So they stole this Ark. And watch this. They put this ark in the same room as their God. So now we're going to pick up the story in verse 1. After the Philistines captured the ark of God, they took it from the battlefield at Ebenezer to the town of Ashdod or Ashdod. They carried the ark of God into the temple of Dagon. Notice now, their God had a temple. They brought the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon, and they placed it beside an idol of Dagon. But when the citizens of Ashdod went to see it the next morning, Dagon had fallen with his face to the ground in front of the Ark of the Lord. Because God's presence is too powerful for an imitation God. God's presence is so powerful, but most of us, what we do, we don't allow the presence to fight for us. We fight for ourselves when all we have to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So Dagon, this God, had fell down to its face in front of the Ark of God. And so they took Dagon and they put him in his place again, stood him back up. But the next morning, the same thing had happened. Dagon had fallen face down before the Ark of the Lord again. Everybody say again. And then let's see what happened. But this time, his head and his hands had been broken off and they were lying in the doorway. Only the trunk of his body was left intact. And that is why to this day, neither the priest of Dagon nor anyone who enters the temple of Dagon in Ashdod will step onto its threshold. And then the Lord's heavy hand struck the people of Ashdod and the nearby villages with plagues and tumors. When the people realized what was happening, they cried out and they say, we can't keep the Ark of God of Israel here any longer. He's against us. And I'm telling you, church, if you will learn how to worship and learn how to praise, your praise invites God's presence down. And when God's presence goes down, your enemies will come down. Say amen to that. So in Psalm 22:3, I'm going to show you something about God's presence. Then we're going to briefly talk about praise, briefly talk about worship, because see, some of you, there's some things going on in your life and you've tried everything. You're eating right. You're living right. You're talking right. The problem is you ain't praising right. Watch this now. In Psalm 22 verse 3, it says, but you are holy, O Lord. Watch this. And you inhabit the praises of Israel. The word inhabits there means to sit down in, to live in, and to dwell in. In other words, when you and I begin to praise, it causes God to come down and sit in where we are. He inhabits or lives in the praises of his people. And here is the principle. When you and I learn how to praise and how to worship, it invites God's presence down. And when God's presence comes down, Dagon has to go down. So the first point is praise produces momentum. Praise produces momentum. You say, well, Pastor Evan, what is praise? Praise is the act or an expression of declaring God's greatness. It's often celebratory in its expression. So that's why you sing and you dance and you clap and you raise your hands. You begin to declare God's powerful acts. See, that's praise. Praise involves the soul. That's what we praise from. The problem is your soul is fickle. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your thoughts and how you feel. And so here's the thing about praising from the soul. Anybody can do that. Unbelievers can praise. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So watch this. So birds praise the Lord. Dogs praise the Lord. Pigs praise the Lord. But watch this though. But it takes another level for someone to worship the Lord. See, praise takes place in the soul, but worship takes place in the spirit. And that's why the scripture tells us, it says, God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. But see, there are some things that praise can do for you that if you exercise it, you can't do for yourself. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, because I just want to talk about what praise can do in your life. Praise can give you a raise. Look at your neighbor and say, praise can give you a raise. Now, who could use a raise? Who could use some increase? Yeah. And I'm not talking about like $2 an hour. No, not that. That ain't a raise. That's a tip. Psalm 67. Let me show you how powerful your praise is. This is so good. It says, let the people praise you, O God. Is that what it say? Let the who? Let the who? Let the people do what? Okay, so why don't we just exercise that right now? Let the people praise him right now. God, we praise you. We praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He said, let the people praise you, O God. Notice what it says. Thank you. He says, let all the people praise you. You say, well, why, Pastor Eben? Why? Because the next word is then. Then when? Then after the people praise the Lord, then, watch this, church, the earth will yield or release, increase, and then God will bless you. So watch this. Your raise can come from your praise. And that's why the devil don't want you to do it. And that's why you all have some halfway blessed lives, because you only praise on Sunday. You better go to YouTube on Monday morning before you go to work and pull up praise and worship from Word of Truth Family Church and begin to praise, because watch this. Look, they say when praises go up, what happens? Blessings. There's the scripture right there. When all the people praise you, the earth will release its increase. I wonder how much increase the earth owes you, but they can't, the earth ain't paying you because you ain't praising the Lord. So years ago, everybody say years ago. Years ago, I was in a car accident And we were trying to settle this thing. A year went by, 2 years go by, and every time it was time to go to court, they would push it back. Well, the first time it happened, I was like, oh, that's just how it is. You know, court dates change. Second time it happened, court does. Then third time, I'm kind of getting frustrated because I'm ready to fix this thing. So then after court date move number four, I was like, so now I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm tired of this. 2 years now is going by. What are we going to do? And so I was reading Psalm 67. And when I read, let the people praise you, O God, then the earth will release its increase. The Lord said, Evan, you ain't praising me enough. I'm like, well, wait a minute, Lord. Don't do me like that. What do you mean? So I looked up the word praise. You know what it meant? It's the Hebrew word yada, which means, watch this, church, to extend your hands and to make a confession of thanks and praise. And that's why God's presence cut the hands off of the God Dagon. Because hands being raised is a way of showing praise and worship. And so when I read that, he says, Evan, you're not praising me enough. So heaven was in daycare. So I had a meeting with heaven. I said, heaven, because I took heaven to school every morning, daycare. And so she's in her car seat. I said, heaven, we need to yada the Lord. She don't know what yada is, so I had to explain it to her. I said, heaven, yada means to extend your hands and raise it up, and then I just want you to repeat after daddy. I said, raise your hands up. She raised her little hands up. I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, God, you're great. God, you're great. And for 2 weeks straight, every day, heaven and I would yada. After 2 weeks, I get a phone call from my attorney who was working on this case for right at 2 years. He says, Mr. Connor, the opposing insurance company called me this morning and they wanted me to let you know they decided to not pursue it in court. They're just going to give you the full insurance on that deal. It was $100,000. In other words, my praise got me a raise. And I don't know about you, but listen, what I'm talking about today, your boss can't control that. Your customers can't control that. Nobody can. Raise your praise. And some of you all today, your increase is controlled by your hands. Then what is worship? Worship is different from praise. Because worship is something that's done from the spirit. See, you can praise from the soul, but you gotta worship from your spirit. And worship is something that God is looking for. It didn't necessarily say God is looking for people that praise him, because he says, you know what, if you don't praise me, I'll even raise some rocks up to praise me. So he's not looking for people to praise, because anybody can do that. Even unbelievers, they get up there and get an award and they say, you know, praise God. God is good all the time, all the time. See, you don't have to be saved to do that, but you do have to be saved to worship in spirit and in truth. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus said, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, that means that if there are true worshipers, there are false worshipers. He says the true worshipers, watch this now, will worship the Father, how? In spirit and what else? That means it's possible to operate in spirit and not be in truth. And watch this now. This is powerful. For the Father is looking for people like that to worship him. See, worship is so powerful, the devil wants you to worship him. See, that's why he wants to keep you from keeping God first. Because putting God first shows that you're worshiping him. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the devil had the gall to try to get Jesus to worship him. So if the devil tried to get Jesus to worship him, don't you think the devil wants to try to get you to worship him? Why does he want people to worship him? Because there's some power that comes with worship. So watch this now. It says, and Jesus, he said to the devil, or the devil said to him, all these things will I give you. Do you know the devil can give you some stuff? See, that's why people in the world, don't get it mixed. Don't get it twisted. The devil can give people in the world stuff. That's why they sell their soul to the devil. He wants them to worship him. Why? Because he can give them some stuff. But you can gain the whole world and still lose your soul. Well, he said to Jesus, all these things, Jesus, I'll give to you. But all I need you to do is fall down and do what? Worship me. And Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only. Him what? Him only shall you serve. So here's the question. Who am I serving? Because whoever it is probably who I'm worshiping. Because he said, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So, years ago, I used to live with a lady named Miss Johnson. She was like my grandmother. She had some relatives that were religious people. But it was different. You know, we would talk, and I'm talking about the Lord, and it sounded like they talking about the Lord. I think they talking about the Lord, but didn't I always feel like it was the Lord? I'm like, something ain't right, you know? And so, you know, we would talk, and they'd come back and come back over. So one day they invited me to one of their meetings. I figured I'd go, because if I go to their meeting, they got to come to mine. So I went into their meeting. We go up in there, and something don't feel right. Something don't seem right. You know, it wasn't really nobody in charge. They didn't have no pastor. I'm like, okay, all right. And, you know, everybody was brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. I'm like, okay, all right. And so we're all in this room, and it ain't feeling right, but I don't know what's going on, but I know something ain't right. So all of a sudden, brother so-and-so says something, and everybody commences from standing up to turning around in front of their chair, getting on their knees like this, and begin to pray. And I'm standing there because I don't know what's going on. I'm like, whoa, whoa. So I was like, shoot, let me get on my knees too and pray. But I was like, I don't know who they praying to though. So what I did, I prayed in tongues. Under my breath, I prayed in tongues. And so when we got done with that, I got home. I was like, Lord, what in the world was that? Didn't seem right. And he said, that was will worship. Well, what is will worship? Will worship is when you use your will to worship instead of your spirit to worship. See, your will is part of your soul. The Bible, we are a three-part being. We're a spirit, we're a soul, and we're a body. And your soul consists of your mind, your will, your thoughts, and how you feel. The problem is, God is not looking for us to just worship him from the soul. We need to worship him, watch this, in spirit and in truth. So anytime people begin to worship outside of how the Bible says do it, then that's when you get into will worship. Now, all you got to do is look up Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, because it talks about what will worship looks like. So I'm just going to give you a real easy, right off the top example. See, there are some denominations who they don't play music in church. I guess, you know, to them, that's not how the Bible, God don't want you to play music. So they sing a cappella and they sound real good. The problem with that is the Bible talks about praising the Lord with cymbals and praising the Lord with the strings and praising the Lord with the harp and praising the Lord with the cymbals. So in other words, it's okay to praise the Lord with music. So why is it that they decided that's not how you do it? That's will worship. What's interesting is those same people will leave church, get in their car, and listen to K104. Touch your neighbor and say, I know you listen too. I know you listen. Will worship. Well, worship is something that God prescribes. And I believe God wants revival to hit his church. But revival is hard to come when you've had some people to prescribe their own way that they're going to worship. See, COVID showed up a lot of hearts. See, did you know we got some 2025 COVID people? They still acting like it's still COVID. COVID gone. They still, they, listen, they right across the street streaming right now. I'm going to watch Word of Truth over the computer. They live. I'm waving at them right now. They probably can see me. You know why? Because we've decided we're going to worship how we want to. But that's not how it works. And so the scripture tells us in the New Testament, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. God said, listen, your personal relationship with God should never outweigh also your public worship of God. And that's the problem. So watch this though. So now we're going to just give a couple of examples of worship and we're going to close right here. In Psalm 95:6, it talks about how we should worship. It says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our maker. See, when God is leading you to kneel, you need to do it. Because you don't know what breakthrough is coming with that. See, worship does stuff that you can't see. It breaks things off of you. It will cause Dagon to fall in your life. And there's some of you, Dagon is, he's been working on you. You say, what do you mean? If you have some consistent stronghold things happening, that's Dagon trying to take authority over your life. But today, guess what's going to happen? God's presence is going to break the power of Dagon today. Psalm 132:7 says, let us, touch your neighbor and say, us means you. It says, let us go to where? The sanctuary. The sanctuary ain't your house. He said, let us go to the sanctuary of the Lord. And what are we going to do? Let us worship at his footstool of his throne. Watch Psalm 38:2. I will worship towards the holy temple. Where? The holy temple. And there I'm going to praise your name. But I want you to notice there that just two verses, and there are so many in the Bible that talked about that the house of God is one of the places we need to come and worship. Now you see, why are you saying that? Here's why I'm saying that. Because people allow, remember, real worship is doing it your way. Some people say, I don't need to go to church to worship God and to praise God. I got my own personal relationship with God. Well, the problem with that is your personal relationship with God should never replace your public worship of God. Oh, I'm going to rewind that one because I don't think you got it. Let's do it again. Your personal relationship with God should never replace your public worship of God. Why? Because God, he is the one to be praised and he is the one to be worshiped, which means that he's the only one that can prescribe how he wants worship to be. And he can't let you worship at your home and be there and be okay with it. Did you know Jesus went to church on a regular? Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you regular? What do you mean by that? Take it like you want to. Listen to Luke 4:16. It says, when Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, what was his custom? He went to the synagogue. Where did he go, church? He went to the synagogue. When did he go? On the Sabbath day. When did the Sabbath day happen? Every 7 days, the Sabbath day. Every 7 days, which means that Jesus went to church at least once a week. Luke 4:16 in the New Living Translation, watch what it says. When he, Jesus, he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual, where, church? To the synagogue. And what did he do? He stood up to read. So I just want to bring some encouragement and some admonishment to some of you, and it's going to sting, but here's what I'm going to request that I believe God is saying to you. Don't treat 2025 like it's a COVID year. Just look at your neighbor and say, stop being a COVID Christian. Oh yeah, we got some COVID Christians. Right? Now I'm not talking about people who, you know, have to stream because they're at work. I'm not talking about people who may have some serious health issues and they have to be at home. No, no, no. I'm talking about people who won't miss work for nothing because you need that check, but you will miss church because it's not convenient. Watch this. You have excellent attendance at work, but your attendance at church is sloppy. So here's the question. Which one are you bowing down the most to? Why can't, how can your job depend on you and your church can't? Ooh. Okay. Okay. So listen, 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 listen. I believe there are some Dagons of health issues in this room. And he's ready to fall today. Because we're, the presence of God is already, it's been here. Okay. And listen, one of the ways that God's presence shows up is with oil. That's why the Bible symbolizes oil as the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says if you will anoint someone who is sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith, the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Watch this. And the Lord will raise them up. Why would he do that? Because his presence is bigger than the presence of Dagon. And there are some diseases that Dagon is trying to hold you down on. And I don't know who you are today, but I tell you what, I got some oil here. Can y'all bring me some oil? I got some oil. And I believe this oil today, this oil today is going to replace whatever Dagon has been trying to do. Because see, some of y'all, Dagon trying to kill you. But today, Dagon's arms, his legs, his hands, and his feet going to get cut off today. You say, well, Pastor Evan, how do I know it's going to work? Listen, faith says it's going to work. And so if there are some things going on in your body that you have not been able to fix, the doctors haven't been able to fix, I want you to come down right now because Dagon must fall today. Come on, don't take long. You know who you are. And see, the devil will tell you, this ain't going to work. That's Dagon talking. Do you know that Jesus prayed for a blind man? When he prayed for him the first time, he asked him, can you see? You know what the blind man said? He said, well, I can see, but I'm seeing people like trees. In other words, they were blurry. He couldn't see. Oh, so you mean Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Master of the universe, the Word in the flesh, had to pray for a man more than once? Yes. The Bible says he prayed for him again. Everybody say again. He prayed for him again, and when he prayed for him the second time, his vision and his vision came now clearer like normal. And some of you up here, don't let the devil tell you, well, you've had this prayed for before. Ah! Well, if Jesus had to pray more than one time, because I didn't do this, they'll tell you, I didn't do this in none of the services, but I know I'm supposed to do this right now. And I'm just believing that Dagon is going to fall today in your life. In the name of Jesus, the Dagon of sugar diabetes is going to fall today. The Dagon of high blood pressure is going to fall today. The Dagon of cancer is going to fall today. There's some people that are on the list for some transplants. Are you, put your hands down real quick. Are you on the list for transplants? Anybody on the list for a transplant? You got a, or you need one, or they telling you you need one. You ain't went through the process yet. Anybody? 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 Nobody here for a transplant. Anybody here had one? And it didn't work out? I guess not. Well, guess what we gonna do? We gonna pray against it. Because the only reason you need a transplant, the only reason you need one is because some things in your body is not working. I don't know who's here. If there's some cancer here, I believe it's going to dry out. And you know what? I'm going to ask you to go back to the doctor. Have them to do some more tests. You say, well, Pastor, what if they do the test and it's still there? Okay. The evidence is not the test. The evidence is my faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what I can't see. The evidence is not the results of my doctor's test. The evidence is my faith. What does my faith say? My faith says God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that I can ask, think, or imagine. So here's what we're going to do. Raise your hands up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today. Dagon is falling. The Dagon of hypertension, the Dagon Father, of health issues, the Dagons, of whatever's going on in the lives of your people. Father, children, your children, healing is the children's bread. And so I declare today in the name of Jesus, as I touch each one of them, God, I thank you that it won't be me touching them. It will be you touching them. You said when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And so Lord, we're not gonna leave here thinking we might recover. We're gonna leave here believing we shall recover. Hallelujah. Listen, that is your confession for the rest of the week, that I shall recover. I shall recover. I am recovering. I am recovering. Come on, say it right now. Say, I am recovering. I am recovering. I am recovering. I am recovering. And once I touch you, you can go to your seat. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus total healing over their body from the inside out. Clean up every bloodstream, every blood vessel. In the name of Jesus, every organ, in the name of Jesus, every part of their body from the inside out, in the name of Jesus, clear up all infections, clear up all, Father, inflammation, in the name of Jesus, God, begin to break the spirit of Dagon. Father, cause their health to rise up in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we lay hands, your word says, you will cause them to recover. That when we lay hands on the sick, you said you will raise them up. So Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus Christ that as we obey your word and we lay hands, God, we thank you that you're able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Dagon's got to go today in the name of Jesus. Dagon's got to go today in the name of Jesus. Be whole, be healed in Jesus' name. Be whole, be healed in Jesus' name. Be whole, be healed in Jesus' name. Be whole. God, I bring it in for solo moranda. Dedeco siti kisa. God, I bring it in for sondoro. In the name of Jesus, I command your health to line up in Jesus' name. By his stripes, you are healed in the name of Jesus. God, thank you. Dagon's got to fall. I don't care what bloodline it came from, God. Clear it up in Jesus' name. Clear it up in Jesus' name. Clear it up. Clear it up in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for healing from the top of their head down to the soles of their feet. Thank you for doing, God, what no man can do. Thank you, Father, for supernatural things taking place in the name of Jesus. That they will not die, but they shall live and declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, that healing, you ain't got to beg for it. You ain't got to cry for it. All you got to do is receive it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Receive it in Jesus' name. Healing is the children's bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Healing is the children's bread. Dagon, you got to fall today. You will no longer be active in her life. Thank you, Father, that healing is yours. That you are the God that healeth us. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up. That you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because you are, you bring healing. You bring deliverance into our lives. In the name of Jesus. If I haven't touched you, raise your hands up. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I have some more oil? Hallelujah. 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 Ah, thank you, Lord. I hear the Lord's going to surprise some of y'all. Y'all going to wake up and you ain't going to feel it no more. It's going to be gone in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Life of ministry ain't over. In the name of Jesus. Parabrende koso torobrendiri andarasa brosi katasa dede kosi derebre de komoro voranda da kisa dara brosi ta dara brande de joro kosi zindiri andara brade koso doro dagan. You got a fall today. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, bridge kasi torobosi dara brande dede kosi di andara bakoso. Jete kasa brarendere kosi jidiri briranda brarendere kosoro brodi jende kosara brendere kosi. Yoro, no weapon formed against her body will prosper in the name of Jesus. Dagon, you gotta go today. Oh, you've been plaguing this lady too long. But today I speak freedom. I speak healing. I speak wholeness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your healing virtue. For your power, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, arrest whatever's going on the inside of this man. And I thank you for cleansing him by the blood of the Lamb, in the name of Jesus. I declare, Dagon gotta go. Disease has to go. Sickness has to go. In the name of Robrosika Sarabradende. Dede kosoro burende, jindidi kosoro buranda rabakasi, jere jindidi ondoro, broro senda kasara, bere kosi, jidi kosoro moraranda, bere ke sindidi kosara, be kosor torombre se teka, jede da bosi tiri andara ba ukoso, jikasa dere koso, dorobo rendere kasiri ondo, dorobo kosi de kisanda, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, 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 be healed in Jesus' name. Dorobo sindirianda, brokosoro borende, jidiko sindarabrete kosi. Dagon, you got to fall. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, do what only you can in their life. In the name. Oh, I need you to fully surrender today. Oh, ain't no half serving the Lord no more. Tadao bro sin darabrande koso. You can't half serve him and get full benefits. He said you got to give it all to me today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fully surrender. Give it up. Yes, yeah, that is. That is. That is. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus, Rorende de Casara Bradende, Cosoro Borende de Cassi, Gidi Cosoro Bro, Sete Casa, Bradende de Cosi di Andarabadondo. Father, thank you. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. Come on, give it all the way up. You got to give him all your heart. You can't give him some of your heart. You can't give him some. You got to give him all. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak influence, spiritual influence into his life, that he will no longer walk with average people, that he will be the leader. I speak leadership on this young man. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Man of God, look at me. You can't be afraid to be different. It's okay. They may see your difference as maybe negative. But no. That's the enemy. That's how he works. He wants you to despise the very thing God has gifted you with. And your difference, anybody can make a copy. They make copy machines to do that. But nobody can copy an original. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this man of God, that he will walk as an original. Father, begin to surface all the giftings and all the healings and all of the qualities that are on the inside of him that you have put in him. Help him to discover them so that, Lord, he can walk out who he truly is. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for healing, because it is her right. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Did I get everybody? No, right here. Give me some more oil. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I thank you for using this oil as a representation of your presence in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus, Father, drive out every spirit, drive out every form of infection, every form of dis-ease. In the name of Jesus, drive it out today. I thank you, Father, for healing taking place in her life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for wholeness, not just healing. I speak wholeness to her life in the name of Jesus. Wholeness, spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Jindara Bradendere Kosoro Borindi Kasa Jete Kosandere Koro Burandere Kosi Jiri Andara Bradende Kasara Bradendere Kosi Jiri Ondo Soro Borendiri Kasara Rara Kasi Jindiri Kosindiri Rara Rabra Jiti Kosoro Borondo Robosi Jindiri Andara Baranda. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing. In the name of Jesus. Father, all forms of blockage, free up every vein, free up every blood vessel. Thank you, Father, for her white blood cells fixing everything that's happening on the inside of her life. In the name of Jesus, thank you that healing is hers. Thank you for healing. Lord, I speak healing over MJ right now. I speak wholeness. I speak healing. That the spirit of infirmity will not attach itself to his body. And from this day forward, Lord, we speak total healing on a consistent basis. We speak help. We speak healing. We speak prosperity in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that healing is the children's bread. What? Let's see here. Baby, I just, come help me. Let me see your hands. Put your hands on her legs. God, thank you that you are a God of miracles. Jesus, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we speak complete healing. We speak a miracle over her legs. And whatever has happened, God, reverse the curse in the name of Jesus. We speak to her legs and we speak to her body. And we say, you return back to your original state, which is walking, which is running, which is healing in the name of Jesus. And God, whatever it is that is holding, Dagon, in the name of Jesus, you will not cut her legs off. We say in Jesus' name, be whole, be healed, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you, she shall walk again, God.
that one day she's going to wheel herself in here and then she's going to walk herself out of here in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You can write this day down. So you've been known from your case with your son. The papers know you that way. All the authorities know you that way. The social workers know you that way. But what they gonna know you for in the future is that lady that used to be in that wheelchair. She ain't in that wheelchair no more. God done healed her. And it's gonna open up a door for you to talk to so many people because they don't believe until they see. So Lord, I speak in the name of Jesus. Total healing over her life. In the name of Jesus. Well, I tell you what, we might as well try right now. Ain't no use of sitting in the chair. Ain't no use of sitting in the chair. So, where's dad? Where her daddy? He not here? Okay, who's strong? I need a strong, two strong men. Two strong men. All right. Can you try? Come on, let's try. Give me this right here. In the name of Jesus. 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 I command her feet, her ankle bones, and her leg to receive strength. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, we just gonna try. We might as well try. Come on, I just want you to try to stand up. Just try to stand up. Oh yeah, just stand. You ain't gotta walk. Yeah, just stand up. Just stand up in the name of Jesus. I command her legs in Jesus' name to get strength in Jesus' name. I command her legs to receive power in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. This is not your permanent place. You will not be in this. Listen to me. You will not be in this chair all of your life. I want you to say this. Say, I will not be in this chair all of my life. Because I'm free. Because Jesus made me free. He's a healer. And I receive my healing. And I will see my healing. In Jesus' name. Now praise him right now. Praise him right now. Praise him right now. Praise him right now. Come on, church. Let's praise with her. Let's praise with her. Let all the people praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. For every person that came up. And God, if we gotta pray every Sunday, we gonna trust you to do what we can't do. And we speak today, God, and we say, be gone. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap, church. Give the Lord a hand clap. Very quickly. It's time to go home, but I want, before we go home, there's some people that may need to be saved. The question is, if you die today...